Let's pray now as we come to God's word, as we continue our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. Father, we are so grateful for the Sermon on the Mount. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that the people there, as they listen to these words, recognize their authority. May we recognize that authority of Jesus' words now as we listen. We ask that your word would transform us. In particular, we ask that you would shape us and renew us in our praying. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from Matthew 6, from the section of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 5 to 15. Jesus speaking, and he said this: "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, begins this section of this great sermon with the words, "When you pray." Jesus just assumes that his disciples will pray. And so just as we begin to look at these words, let me ask the question, how is your prayer life? Do you carve out time in your life for prayer? When do you pray? Why do you pray? What do you pray? How has lockdown been for you when it comes to prayer? Well, my hope is that as we look at this, if you are a young believer, if you are new to the faith, I hope these verses will teach you the fundamentals of prayer. But my hope and prayer is also those who have been in the faith for a longer time will find real help, refreshment here, and spurs on in our prayer. And in this section, as I think David mentioned last week, this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching on the three great acts of piety that were part of Jewish life. Almsgiving, that is giving to the needy, prayer and fasting. Particularly important, I think, the way he focuses on prayer and giving. I think fasting is part of praying. You know, I think it is fair to say that it would have been unimaginable in the Old Testament for a person to claim to be serious about God and not to pray and give to the needy. It is just a given for those who are serious about God, for those who believe in God, who want to live for God, that they will pray and they will give to the needy. In fact, every religion recognizes that at some level. If you're interested to look across at Islam, prayer, almsgiving, fasting are all essential spiritual disciplines, and they're not wrong in that sense. It's not so much that Jesus is saying that praying and almsgiving and fasting are up for grabs, that they are somehow optional extras. They're just integral to living life with God and before God. Jesus simply assumes that his disciples will pray. He assumes his disciples will give to the needy. He assumes his disciples will fast. And so here in this section, he's now focusing on praying. It's when you pray, you're going to pray. So what does he do as he teaches them about prayer? Well, firstly, he teaches us how to pray. And secondly, he teaches us what to pray. How to pray and what to pray. And as Jesus teaches us about how to pray, he gives us two warnings. And he does that, he gives us two warnings. He teaches us how to by starting about how not to pray. And firstly, he tells us that as we pray, we are not to be like the hypocrites. And secondly, we are not to be like the pagans. Do not be like the hypocrites in your prayer. Do not be like the pagans in your praying. How do hypocrites pray? Well, this is very much, again, a continuation of what David so helpfully brought to our attention last week. The hypocrites do their acts of piety. They do good in order to look good. It's a matter of motive. It is a matter of what is going on in their hearts. When they do their acts of piety, they are craving approval and praise of others. And so with giving to the needy, so with prayer, if we do it in order to impress others, then all we will get is the approval of others. We will get nothing from God. And Jesus says this is a hypocrisy. Don't be like the hypocrites in prayer. It's actually just worth pondering why this form of praying, this form of giving, is hypocrisy. You see, we normally think of hypocrisy as teaching others to do one thing while we do another, having a high standard for others but ignoring it with ourselves. So if we were to be hypocrites in that sense, we'd be saying, you must pray, but here in private I never pray. That would be hypocrisy of the kind of normal sort. But here it seems to me the hypocrisy that Jesus is criticizing. See, the Pharisees said that you should pray, and they did pray. There wasn't a disconnect in that sense between what they said you should do and what they did. The hypocrisy was in their heart attitudes. They were looking to give the impression that they were great men of God, that they were devoted to God, that they loved God. But what was really going on in their hearts? They wanted the approval and praise of others. They wanted to be seen as great men of God. They wanted to be seen as great vertical people who loved and were devoted to God. But actually, really, their hearts were seeking the praise and the approval of others. Just think about that for us. See, the real danger for us is not that we weren't going to stand out on the street corner at Spicer Street and start praying and to be seen by others. The subtle temptation for us, I think, is that we pray because that's the sort of thing that we must do. And as a minister, maybe I pray because I'm frightened that one of my minister friends will say to me, how's your prayer life? And I want to be ready with an answer for him. You see, that's not praying because I want to do business with God. That's praying because I want to do what I know is expected of me. So how do we break this hypocrisy? How do we get our hearts straight? How do we make sure that we are doing it? How do we align our hearts with what is right in prayer? He says to his disciples, go into your room and don't pray in front of others. Pray in secret. Now, I don't think for one second here he is ruling out public praying. He's not ruling out, which is important. He's not ruling out family prayers, which are vital. We can see that from the rest of scriptures. But he is here encouraging us in secret prayer to help us to have right motives. And he says, go and pray to your Father. Take the others out of the equation. Go and pray to your Father. He is your audience. Not them. And there you are in your room. Maybe you've gone up to your bedroom. There's the bed, a chair. You kneel down. It is quiet occasionally. It is just you. It feels like it is just you. And you return your attention to God's. And you are praying to a Father that you cannot see. But he sees what you are doing. Jesus tells us there in the secret place. And he rewards you. What is the reward? He doesn't say. I think it will be clear on the last day, and the rewards will be tied up with blessing then. I think there may well be rewards now with all sorts of help and all sorts of blessing. But you see, the motive for our praying is not to be able to say, yes, I pray when someone asks. The motive to be praying is to be seeking a Father's reward. And here is amazing encouragement in these words, that we should go to the Father, go to the private place, pray to him, look for his reward, that he sees and he hears. I just want to ask you a simple question. Do you believe this? You see, to know this, to believe this, is life and eternity transforming. True prayer to the Father, as we seek his blessing, will make a difference in many ways and forever. Will you find time in your schedule to pray like this? Not just this week, but for the rest of your life. Take verse 6 to heart. When you go and when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So the how-to, don't be like the hypocrites. Go secretly to your Father. The second how-not-to is don't be like the pagans. He says, don't be like the religious hypocrites over there, and don't be like the pagans. What do? They babble on. You could check out how the Baal worshippers pray in 1 Kings 18 if you've got some time this afternoon. They're on Mount Carmel as they pray to God against Elisha. There they have to frantically work things up to get God's attention. They were looking to cause a racket. They were having to shout to get the attention of the top man. It's a bit like dealing with one of those big organizations. When you have a complaint, you go to the first person and they don't listen. So you have to write a long letter, and you have to get that letter up and up and up the chain. You have to kick and holler. Well, if you'd like to do things that way, kick and holler until it's at the top and someone's listening. And we think prayer, or pagans think prayer's like that. You've got to kick and holler and shout and go on until I get the attention. No, says Jesus. You have a Father who knows exactly what you need even before you ask. You don't have to demand his attention. You don't have to feed him all the information and lay out the long email about what is wrong and the difficulties. You are simply going to a Father who knows you, who loves you, who cares for you. And the way that it works is you come to him and you ask him. Can you see how we are to pray? Coming before God, our Father, who we cannot see, but who sees us, who knows us, and who rewards our praying. So secondly, what are we to pray? What are we to pray? Well, here we have what is probably the most familiar and well-known section of the Bible, the Lord's Prayer. We, of course, do not have time to look at the prayer in any sort of detail. I just want to make 3 points about it quickly. Firstly, before we dive into what we are to pray, we do well to reflect on who we are praying to. Our Father in heaven. Every word is important. Our Father. We don't go into the secret place and just say, my Father. Even in secret, we pray knowing that we belong to the people of God. That it's a family prayer. Our Father. B, be astounded that we can call him Father. Not just that he is our Father, we can call him Father. It is one of the most amazing things in the salvation that we are given in Christ. It is not that just we are forgiven. It is not just that we are justified and given the very righteousness of Christ. We are adopted. So that as Jesus can call God the Father, Father, so we can call God the Father, Father. Extraordinary privilege. Some of us will have had good fathers, some of us will have had poor fathers, some of us will have medium fathers, but God is a perfect Father, a life giver, generous, wise, protecting, teaching, loving, just, caring perfectly for all of his children. And he's located in heaven. Out of sight, but there. Maybe you have not yet been adopted into the family. Would you like to join the family and be able to call God your Father? Well, you enter actually by prayer, by crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking for mercy and forgiveness and new life. And as you do that, as you cry out, he forgives. He gives you his Spirit. And that is the Spirit of adoption. And you are taken into the family. And you too can call God a Father. In fact, the Spirit in you will start to call out, Father. So reflect upon who we are praying to. It is amazing. What to pray? Secondly, we see that the first half of the prayer and the kind of six parts of the prayer is all about God and his kingdom. And the first half of this prayer needs to be allowed to speak to our self-centeredness. The three phrases are, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. We are tempted to pray, may my name be honored, may my kingdom come, may my will be done. And I think it's fair to say, if you can't see those own tendencies in your own heart, you probably don't know your heart well enough. We yearn for the honor, we yearn for our way and our kingdom. By nature, we are curved in on ourselves. And it will be a danger for the disciples. The hypocrites, of course, were focused in on themselves. So we have to look to pray for that God's name would be on it, that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done. These are, of course, not three completely unrelated ideas. They're part of a package. God's agenda, the coming of his rule, his great honor as his great plan, as his great kingdom is brought in the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world which does not glorify God. We live in a world which is marked by darkness, which is under the kingdom of Satan. We are a world in which God's will is rejected. And that is dark and that is disastrous. And we are praying for the coming of the kingdom. That is a kingdom that has come now in the Lord Jesus Christ and is a kingdom that is yet to come. So we are praying for kingdom advance now, that people would come into the kingdom, that people would come and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and enter the kingdom and begin to live in transformed ways. In ways in which honor and glorify God and in which his will is done. It's a prayer for the kingdom coming now. But this is also a prayer that looks to the future and to the return of the King. When Jesus Christ will come back, administer perfect justice, right every wrong, rule perfectly, and fill the new heaven and the earth with his glory and his peace. We long for that day and we pray for that day. But we might ask the question, do our prayers make any difference? These are such big prayers. for the coming of the kingdom, for the glory of God's name, for his will to be done. Do our prayers make any difference? Will not the gospel advance anyways? Will not the king come back anyway? Surely his will be done in the end. Why pray these things? Will it make a difference? Well, we've already been told that as we pray, God sees and hears us. We have already been told that God rewards us in prayer, and then this is how we are to pray, what we are to pray. Would Jesus instruct us to do something that is useless? In fact, he knows that we may well doubt whether we've heard this, and we'll, you know, and he will teach us later on to make sure that we know that prayer is heard. Seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened. Ask and it will be given to you. Our Father does hear, and our praying does make a difference in ways which we may never see in this world, but we'll see on the last day. And in fact, we may well see in this world as well. So pray these phrases. So we've thought about what we are to pray, who we're praying to. We've thought about praying God's kingdom. And thirdly, of course, we see as we consider the content of the prayer, we pray our needs. I'm going to cover this very quickly. The prayer, as I've already said, has six phrases. The first three, we are praying for God's kingdom to advance. The second part of the prayer is that we are praying our needs. Praying our needs. Three needs. Again, you can take time to reflect on them. We are to pray for our bread, our daily bread, for our food, for what we need, not for our luxuries. We're to pray for forgiveness. Jesus assumes that we will sin and we will go on needing forgiveness. We are to pray that we would not be overwhelmed by temptation, that we would not be allowed to go into situations where we would be broken and give in and sin and give up, because we are weak. That's why we need to pray that the evil one would not overtake us. These are our basic needs: for food, for forgiveness, for protection and strength. But in all this, of course, Jesus is keen to emphasize something. He picks up on one phrase of the prayer. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And like a good teacher, he recognizes that we may not have heard that. So at the end, he says, just get this clear. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. He is saying it is vitally important that those that pray for forgiveness and receive God's forgiveness are themselves forgiving people. Ties in with the whole tone of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, there's so much we could say about forgiveness and what it looks like, but basically, in short, when someone has asked for your mercy and forgiveness, you are to forgive. You may have to absorb pain yourself as you do that. Forgiveness is always costly, always costly. But you must let go and cancel the debt, however costly that is for you personally. God has cancelled our debt, and he does not hold a grudge against us. And the forgiveness that he has granted us was very costly. What about when someone has not repented? The relationship may be difficult. Forgiveness will involve letting go of any hatred or giving up any desire for revenge and praying for them. Costly, difficult, and a battle. Those who are to be forgiven are to be forgiving people. So here in this passage we have Jesus teaching us how to pray, to come to a Father, to the unseen audience of our praying, and he has taught us what to pray. And really this invites us to be men and women of prayer. To go to that place to seek a Father's blessing and rewards. Daily, why not? Twice a day? We do so many other things in our lives, don't we? We find time for so many things. And this is not about Jesus beating us and saying, you must do that, but look what is to be gained by going to that secret place. Will you take time and take this prayer? Not just rattle it off. You can do that in about 6 or 7 seconds. Pray to the Father slowly. Use these headings. Branch out. Reflect upon them. Integrate them into your praying and into your Christian life. There's loads of useful books out there. Richard Kochin, Our Father, Enjoying God in Prayer, is a fine little book. Exploring the Lord's Prayer. Take a book like that if you haven't done so before. And know that as you commit to prayer as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will bring reward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the invitation to pray, the command to pray. We thank you that you've opened up prayer for us through the death of the Lord Jesus. We thank you through the Spirit we are enabled to pray. And we thank you that you are a wonderful Father who loves to hear our prayers and rewards us. Write these things onto our heart. Renew us in prayer as individuals and as a church. And would you hear us as we pray together? And let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Well, it is all about the honor and glory that goes to God. We pray for his name to be honored and glorified. And we're going to rejoice in the fact that in the gospel, we see that he has done great things. Thank you. Well, it's been a joy and a privilege to be together, for me to be with you and back with you. And I hope and trust you've known God's blessing as we've met this morning in God's presence. Let's pray as we close. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.